So the regime leader signs an executive order yesterday, goes out. was it real Biden or was it deepfake Biden? He was in a room by himself. It's impossible to tell if it was deepfake Biden or real Biden. We're going to have to call Tommy in on that one to see if we can get to a decision. Whichever version of Biden it was that made the braggadocio announcement, the executive order's on the White House website, and it's real, basically saying, well, here it is from AP News. Biden signs executive order to protect travel for abortion. That title is completely and totally misleading. The regime leader signed an executive order that lays the groundwork for Medicaid to help women seeking abortions travel between states to obtain access to the procedure. There are so many things that are wrong with this. I don't know where to start. But let me start with this. So the email you got this morning says, thanks, Biden. If you're a W-2 wage slave, you're now an abortion supporter. That does not mean that you, because you go into work today, punching the clock, taking the salary, but you're a W-2 taxed employee, you're paying federal income taxes, you're paying FICA, you're paying Medicare taxes. It all goes into a fungible account. And because it's a regular deduction, it goes into the general fund. Insurance plays. Some of it goes into the FICA fund so I can retire. That hasn't existed since like the 60s. They say it's there and they never give you an accounting of it, do they? Well, no. Why? Because it's not there. They spent it. So it goes into the general fund. So this does not mean that you went and called Planned Parenthood and said, hey, I'm all in. Doesn't mean you went to the HR department and went, can you increase my withholding so I can help women in Louisiana drive to Kansas to kill their babies? It is an indirect contribution, but it's still a contribution. The reason I make the point is, and we've been saying this for years, Maggie's going, Walter, what's the point? Here's my point, dude. Other than out of sheer, you know what, I can sum the point up. Kevin Gutzman. In the United States today, we have a complete and total lack of inertia, but an oversupply of apathy. We have way too little of the former and too much of the latter. And I asked Mark Morano yesterday, I'm like, dude, get off of Gmail. You know, do you know how many people I know that are still on Gmail, and they send me Gmail, and I go, why are you using Google? What did Morano say? Well, Mike, that has nothing to do with how good Proton Mail is. That has everything to do with inertia. I've been using Gmail for 18 years now, and I'm not a tech guy. I just don't feel like making the switch. That's a pretty good sum for most people that are W-2 wage slaves. Better chart play. I've been a W-2 wage slave since 1984. I don't feel like making the switch. And it's understandable. I understand it. I get it. That still doesn't mean, because I get it, doesn't mean that I shouldn't advocate for the other course, because there is another course. You don't have to be a W-2 wage slave. And now that, I mean, look, potty training or house training a puppy. Now, people don't do this anymore because it's not fashionable. It's not kicking. When the dog poops on the floor, you take the dog by the back of the head and you stick his nose down near the pile. You don't stick it in and near the pile and go, bad boy, no, no, no. And then you pick him up and you put him outside and you say, no, you go out here. And then if they go out there, you go, hey, good boy, and you give him a treat, right? So this is the Biden regime and the global Malthusian pedo sex cult of death grabbing you by the back of your head and rubbing your nose in their poo and their steaming piles of freshly dismembered babies, rubbing your nose in it and going like, you get to pay for this now, rube. And then grabbing you by the back of the head and throwing you outside. Looking at this any other way is not dealing with reality. So when you read the email today or you see the placard, you're a W-2 waster, that makes you an abortion supporter. It's a qualified supporter. I am one too. But I've talked about it. And I admit, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get out of it completely and totally. But as of now, I haven't. What do I mean by that? If I pay my cell phone bill, I just contributed to the general fund. There's an FCC tax on there, and every single one of you has the same FCC tax. The FCC tax goes directly into the general fund. Buy a bottle of California wine in Louisiana, and you have contributed to the general fund because there's an excise tax. So buy a bottle of whiskey. Louisiana that was made in Kentucky, there's an excise tax. Some states even have extra tax stamps on them. Now, it's been suspended, but they will lift the suspension. Go pump 5 gallons of gasoline. You just paid into the general fund. So I'm paying into it, too. You know, there's a difference and a distinction here that you can make twixt direct and indirect taxes. It's a very boring subject. I don't feel like doing it. But if you want to know the difference, get my 2010 book, the little pamphlet book that we have in the Founders Trading Post, John Taylor of Caroline's Argument Against the Carriage Tax. Because Taylor, and Taylor is very verbose, but Taylor does a pretty good job of explaining why the carriage tax was a direct tax and therefore made it illegal. A direct tax is one that you can't avoid. So if you live in the age where you have to have a telephone or its modern equivalent, a cell phone, then the tax, the FCC tax, or whatever it is that they tack on, is direct. Because you can make the argument, well, I have to have a phone. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. So it's a direct tax. Do you know that depending on which state you live in, you pay a federal tax on your electricity usage bill? There's a federal tax on there. It's a Rural Electrification Act or something. There's some remnant or relic of that. That would be a direct tax because you have to have it. If you're convinced that the only way that you can work is by being a wage slave, W-2 wage slave, you go work for the man, if you will, then that's a direct tax. You can't get out of it. An indirect tax, though, I don't have to have whiskey. Wait a minute. Yes, I do. An indirect tax is one that not everyone will pay and that is in some way avoidable. The W-2 tax, I say, is a direct. And if it's going directly into the fund, then yes, you are indirectly or you are directly funding the murder of the soon-to-be born. But that's just my first issue with this. If I take you back to 2009 and the debate, and then in 2010, the passage over the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, and the PPA, Patient Protection Act, What was one of the arguments that some of us were making at the time about how, well, you know, the irony of this is that Congress actually does have an authority that it could use under the Regulate Commerce Clause. It actually could say that in order to make the commerce, and by the way, that doesn't mean that healthcare should ever be commerce. That commerce, if you buy an insurance or paying hospitals or buying prescription drugs and what have you, principally, though, in buying insurance policies, Congress could intervene. They could use their Article 1, Section 8 power, and they could make medical commerce regular. Make medical commerce great again. Make medical commerce regular. And what, and I want to say there was a member of the House of Representatives that suggested, of course, Pelosi just swatted it out the way because that wasn't the intent of the ACA. And what we mean by that is that the Congress could pass a statute and go like, hey, if you're the Mutual of Omaha Health Insurance and Life Insurance Company and Mutual Company, but you want to sell health insurance, and Georgia says you can't sell health insurance in Georgia because you haven't done this or that or the other, Congress could pass a law saying that to make the commerce regular, that Georgia has to allow that commerce to cross over its state line. Do you see how that works? So they actually could have done something beneficial. And there were people in Congress at the time, Ron Paul was one of them, saying, look, if we want to use our commerce power, this is for medical services, this is how we should do it.